Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here, isn't it? It's good to be here, isn't it? Yes, it's good to be here. Well, I've got about 10 minutes, and I'm going to see how far I get in 10 minutes, and then when I next speak, which is 2 weeks' time, I will pick up from where we leave off today. I don't want to put the children's and young people's workers under any stress because they are very patient and God has given them a message for the children, but I don't want to stretch their patience too much. So I'll just speak for 10 minutes and then I'll pick up in a couple of weeks' time where I leave off today. This month we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus and the new life that we have in him. And I was going to read a few verses from the Bible that talk about the resurrection. Perhaps I'll save that for next time or the house groups anyway. Well, we lived in London in 2005, and on July the 7th, 2005, many of you will remember that there were bomb attacks on the tube and buses. You remember that? I remember it really, really clearly. I cycled to work that day, and everybody knew about it. The whole city was in lockdown. Nobody got a bus or a tube home that night, those that did go to work. A lot of people stayed at home, and there was a lot of fear in London because there had been a series of bombings, and people just did not know what was going to happen next. And I remember I was at work. I used to cycle to work, and I cycled home that day, and the streets were eerily quiet as people were walking home, cycling home, but it was very, very quiet. So everybody knew about what was happening on July the 7th, 2005, in London, and many other people around the country knew about it as well. Imagine that you met somebody a few days later who had no idea what had happened. What would you say to them? Have you been living under a rock? What would you say to them? They had no idea. And you tell them about what happened on July the 7th, and they looked at you blankly, and they just haven't a clue. We'll come back to that in a second if there's time. One of the things I love about the resurrection, Jesus' appearances after the resurrection, is that Jesus makes special appearances to individual people as well as to groups. That's a beautiful thing. Jesus didn't have to do that at all. So he appeared to Mary Magdalene, just to Mary. He appeared for Thomas's benefit. Just for Thomas's benefit, because Thomas had missed out on seeing Jesus a week before. He had a special word for Peter. He had a special word for two disciples that were walking out for a walk on a road to a village called Emmaus outside Jerusalem. He had a special word, if you like, for the 11 disciples that were gathered in a room. And then a little bit later, he had a special meeting, if you like, with seven disciples on a fishing trip. What I'm going to look at today is these first two stories from the resurrection, or two stories from the resurrection after Jesus had raised from the dead, the same day that he was raised from the dead. And so Jesus, to start with, he makes a special appearance to two disciples who were, you can imagine it, can't you? Confused, bewildered, feeling completely flat. What was this all about? And Jesus makes a special appearance to them. And in this first story, Jesus joins these two disciples, Cleopas and someone else, possibly Mary, because Cleopas and Mary are mentioned elsewhere in John's Gospel. And these two disciples were walking to Emmaus. They're discussing the dramatic events of the weekend. And they are absolutely amazed that this stranger who joins them on the road hasn't got a clue, or appears not to have a clue, what they are talking about. Well, maybe as you heard the reading that Yvonne read, maybe you think that Jesus was a little bit sharp for them, sharp with them. Maybe he was a little bit almost rude. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Whoa, that's a bit hard, isn't it? Jesus continued, he said, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." There are many, many places in the Old Testament that point forward to Jesus. And Jesus, as you know, fulfills many Old Testament prophecies. And Jesus often quotes the Psalms or verses from the Psalms when he is speaking about his death and resurrection. And Psalm 22, you will have spotted many of the things in Psalm 22. Where have I heard that before? You will have thought as we heard those things. And Jesus reinterprets parts of the Psalms and parts of the Old Testament in himself, like in Psalm 22. He uses those words to describe his own suffering, his own anguish, as he hangs on the cross. And then the three verses we read from the very familiar passage in Isaiah 53 show us that Jesus' death was not the end. Not the end. And so that seems to be part of what Jesus is saying to these two disciples as he joins them on this road. But I believe it's only part. Later on, he explains again to the 11 disciples about what was said about him in the Old Testament. But the bigger story of the Old Testament is about blessing. And it is about blessing through Jesus, and it is about redemption from slavery. It goes back to the Exodus, which is referred to many, many times in the Old Testament as well as the New. The Exodus was a defining moment. And just as God redeemed Israel from slavery in Egypt at the first Passover, now at this Passover, the new Israel was set free in a new Exodus. People would be able to serve God in peace and holiness. And Jesus invites his followers on a new journey to the promised land. But like many of the disciples, Cleopas and his companion had hoped, as we read, that Jesus was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel. They thought God would set Israel free from their suffering. They thought he would do that. And so they were disappointed. But the reality was that God would instead redeem Israel, set Israel free through the suffering of Jesus, through the death of Jesus on the cross. So Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection would be God's way of choosing to save the world. And this is the big picture that Jesus seems to be talking about, both to these two disciples on the road and also to the 11 gathered in a room. He is telling the big story of the Old Testament, not only how many places referred to someone who was coming, but also that this was a new Passover, this was a new freedom, a new Exodus that Jesus had come to bring. And they would have been very familiar with the first Exodus, a story that was read over and over again in Old Testament times. These two disciples meet a stranger on the road to the village of Emmaus. And then they invite this stranger to their house. And then something amazing happens. Jesus breaks bread like we've done this morning. And then they get it. Then they understand that the person they've met on the road is Jesus. They have a light bulb moment, if I can put it like that. And these disciples are so excited that they go immediately to Jerusalem and they tell the others that they have seen Jesus. In this second story, they're meeting together and suddenly Jesus appears. And you can probably imagine they're petrified. They're petrified enough as it is. They're terrified. And suddenly Jesus just appears. That'd be a bit scary, wouldn't it? If we were there, that would be a bit scary. And he invites them to look at the nail marks in his hands, his wrists, his feet. He invites them to touch him, to check he's not a ghost. He asks for some fish just to prove to them. And he offers them peace. And then he unpacks the Old Testament for them and tells them about their next steps. I think I'm going to finish there just because of time. Next time I pick up on this passage, I'm going to describe what it is from these passages that we can use to apply for ourselves. But I'm going to invite us now to respond, and I'm going to invite those in leadership here to come. We're going to invite you to come forward and to be prayed for. Three things particularly as we do this. First of all, as I will say, I know I'm getting ahead of myself in a sense, but one of the things that I will pick up is that we want to know God better. We want to know God better. We want a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ as these disciples on the road received, and we want the Holy Spirit's power to witness, because that's what Jesus told them was going to happen next. So we want to know God better through the scriptures, and we want a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ, and we want the Holy Spirit power to witness. So I'm going to invite you to come forward as we pray for you to be filled with revelation, to have a hunger for the scriptures, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we witness, as we tell other people what the Lord has done. So we're going to just sing a song.